In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is coming back. He is visibly coming back, and his return will be like nothing you have ever seen. The sun will seem only like a faint candle compared to the radiance emanating from his flesh. A violent storm will sound only like a gentle whisper compared to that trumpet blast. Angels upon angels thundering their praises, following him in his train. Awestruck, all men will fall down before this Son of Man. No one will be missing, no one exempted, but every person who has ever lived, yes, even every stillborn child and every fertilized embryo, every single one of them will stand before this Son of Man. For he is coming back for one reason and one reason alone, to judge. He is not coming back to rule this earth, but he's coming back to judge. He's not coming back to conquer or to fight, but he's coming back to judge, both the living and the dead. And so on that day, the last day, the dead must be raised. They will be raised. Those who are decayed and gone, those who are nothing but dust and ashes, will wake up when they hear their Savior's voice. Their souls and bodies reunited once more. The most vile and heinous men history has ever known will be resurrected, along with the most good and godly men. All will be resurrected. No one will be left out. No one will be missing, for the Lord is their creator. They are his creatures. He knows exactly where they are. And all must stand before him in judgment, for he's coming back to judge the living and the dead. On that last day when our Lord returns, when the dead are raised, on that last day, when he comes to judge, he will separate men into two groups, the sheep and the goats. The sheep will stand on his right, the goats will occupy his left. No one will be misplaced, no one will be forgotten. Not one will be able to sneak over to the other side. No one will be able to cross over for one last goodbye. No one can change their place, for he comes to judge, and he judges in truth. And there they will be forever and ever, world without end. For Christ comes back for this one reason, to separate, to judge the living and the dead. He comes back to judge. And he is coming back to judge you as well. He will carefully examine your life and announce your verdict. And he will look at your works. If you have good works, you will be saved. If you do not have good works, you won't be saved. That makes us uneasy. Because we know the actions we have done. We know the heinous acts we have committed. And if God were to write a book about us, we know how others would view that and us. And not to mention, we know the evil thoughts, the lustful thoughts, the envious thoughts, the covetous thoughts that daily pop up in our minds. We can stop the action. We can get better outwardly. But we have a hard time controlling those thoughts that seemingly come out of nowhere. And God sees them all. He judges each one of them all. He examines them all. Not one will be left out or forgotten. And it leads us to tremble and become unsure because we know what he says. The soul that sins will die. But we only tremble and become unsure when we are looking at ourselves and our works. We only become uncertain of that last day when we are staring at ourselves and what we have done. For when you see Jesus and his blood pouring out of his side, when you see his body hanging where yours should have been, then all nerves calm and every uncertainty fades away. You don't want to be judged by what you have done, but you want to be judged by what he does for you. And that is exactly what God does. He judges you by grace and by grace alone. He judges you by what Christ has done. Who you are and what you have done doesn't matter. But who he is and what he has done for you and what he continues to do to you in word and sacrament, that is what matters. For your judge who is coming, the judge who is returning, he is also your Savior who bled and died for you. And you are not unsure about what he will say to you. For the verdict he will announce to you on that last day is the verdict he has already announced to you at your baptism. You are not guilty. You are innocent. You are perfect. You are holy. You are righteous. You are a child of God. Your sins are all washed away, and so you are an heir of heaven. It is by grace and by grace alone that you are saved. And if you think somehow that God has changed his mind about you since then because of how you have lived, then you need not look any further than at the beginning of our service when he said to you, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He announces the same verdict over you, not guilty. That is God's judgment. And God is not a man that he should lie. That is how God sees you, as righteous. That is how he sees you right now, and that is how he will see you on the last day, because God does not change. And if you still are somehow uneasy about that last day, then he bids you to come and eat his body and drink his blood. The judge himself puts himself inside of you. He touches your tongue, your lips, your body, your blood, your soul. He touches all that you are to drive out all sin and to make you holy and righteous so you may stand confident of your salvation. You do not doubt what God will say to you when you confess your sins. You are not uncertain whether he will feed you his body and blood when you come in repentant faith. You know what he will do, not because it's written in a bulletin, but because you know who your God is. He forgives. He loves. He wants to save. He wants to pour out his blessings on you, so much so that your cup overflows. For as many sins as you have, God has 10 times the amount of grace and love. And he will never stop showering it on you. He's the one who died for you. He was guilty so that you might become innocent and righteous. For it is by grace and by grace alone that you stand confident of your salvation. So why then does Christ mention the works of the sheep and the goats? Well, it's pretty simple. A good tree bears good fruit. Works are a sign of our faith. Faith always does these good works. So where there are good works, their faith must be present. And where there are no good works, their faith must not be present. Or to say it this way, you can't have any good works if you don't have faith. Faith is always producing these good works. But those on Christ's left protest because they do not understand what a good work is. People today still protest because they do not understand what a good work is either. They think a good work is something only that benefits society. So they look at this list that Christ has spoken, and they say, well, I've done this and that, therefore I must be a good person and I must be saved. You see how their eyes turn inward toward themselves and what they have done, as if God demanded nothing more than you check a few boxes off and you're good. Good works are not things that benefit society, or at least not only things that benefit society. God views good works as that which come from faith. So it doesn't matter if someone cures cancer, solves world hunger, or brings peace to the entire world. If they do not have faith, it's not a good work. And so it's not proof of their salvation. Whatever does come from faith is a good work, even if it's giving a cup of cold water to a thirsty child. So that is why Christ mentions these good works, because they are proof that they had faith. So let me be absolutely clear. Good works do not save you, not in the least. They do not increase your salvation. You are saved by faith and by faith alone, by God's grace. And yet faith is always doing something. It's always living in love. It always produces these good works, even as a good tree always bears good fruit. But notice something else. The sheep are also shocked at the good works their Savior attributes to them. for you do not realize all the good that God has done through you and in you. Because your eyes, the eyes of the sheep, are not focused on what we do, but your eyes are focused solely on Christ and what he has done. They have eyes for Christ. He is their hope. He is your hope. He is your salvation. He is the reason that you are declared righteous and holy. He is the only reason why you are acceptable to God. He is the only reason you can stand before your judge this very day in this spot and also on your last day. It's by grace and by grace alone that you are saved through faith. That last day will be like nothing you have ever seen. Who can comprehend all that will transpire? And yet one thing you are certain of, you know exactly what he is going to say to you. It's what he says to you every time you gather before him here in his house. He is not a God who drives you away, but he is a God who forgives and brings you close to him. He is a God who is present here to judge you based on what he has done. And so what he says to you today is exactly what he will say to you on that last day. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. Before you were born, before the Father spoke, let there be light, I knew you, and I prepared this kingdom for you. I knew the struggles that you would face, the burdens that would hinder you, the fears that would make you unsure. I knew you before you were born, and I chose you to be my own, to live in my kingdom, in everlasting righteousness and blessedness. And so that last day, that judgment day, is a good day for us. It is good for you when Christ returns to judge you, because he will not say anything different than he has already said to you. But he will declare you innocent, righteous, a child of God, an heir of heaven, just as he has done this very day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.